Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. If you're new to my show, you should know that I have a PhD in clinical psychology and I'm a wee tad obsessed with the science of love, the biological, the psychological, the sociological pieces of our favorite hobby and our favorite feeling, love. Let's do a little roll call first. We got Andrew Caravella in the newsroom.
Hi, I went through puberty there at the end of the weather.
So much going on. It's good to know that you're here with us.
Yeah.
We got producer Kayla back in the studio. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. It's wonderful to see your beautiful face once again. I love it.
You know, we're going to be taking calls later from our listeners. You ready to screen the calls for us?
That's my favorite part, Dr. Wendy.
Be nice. Okay, these are very... When people call in about their relationship stuff, it's like doing surgery on their heart. Okay, so we're aware of the responsibility that we have here. David, we have you on the board watching my clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful to see you again.
Likewise.
He has to watch the clock because I get on tangents, you know. I'm a talker. I am such an extrovert. I was saying this to my class. I teach at Cal State Channel Islands. And I was saying, I am such an extrovert that I often hear thoughts for the first time outside of my lips. Oh, yes. This can cause a lot of problems for people like me. And if you're one of me, true extroverts, you know what that's about. So I want to give a special shout out to my colleague, Mo Kelly. He'll be on the air tonight. Yes! Because last night, I was honored to present a number of awards at the LA Press Club, Southern California Press Association. And Mo Kelly won a couple big awards on behalf of his amazing work here at KFI. And also honored were people like a Lifetime Achievement Award for Mark Brown at ABC7, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Sean Penn for his work with The Core Response, and the Daniel Pearl Award went to journalist Barry Weiss, formerly of The New York Times. You might remember she was the one who quit The New York Times, a very interesting letter posted online. You can look up Barry Weiss and New York Times and you'll see her goodbye letter. And she has gone behind the paywall at Substack. But also, the amazing reporter, I'm forgetting her last name now, Josie. It's killing me. Is she a Channel 7 weekend editor, maybe? She was the one who was assaulted and arrested during Black Lives Matter by a sheriff's department. And when she came up to receive her award, she said, I don't deserve this award. I share it with these people.
Is it Huang or
Huang? Huang, yeah. I was like, thank I don't you. Know how to pronounce it. I was going to spell it Huang. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Josie Huang. And she very quietly and very purposefully read the names in perfect sequence of 63 journalists who were either assaulted or arrested by law enforcement in Los Angeles in the last year. And one of the many good works of the LA Press Club, besides providing foot in the door mentorships to all kinds of journalists, and they awarded lots of student journalists at various universities, is to get a bill passed that makes it legal for journalists to cross the police lines to make sure that we remain the eyes and ears of the public. Here's the funny thing. I began the morning having breakfast in El Segundo. My boyfriend Julio and I love on the weekends to always get up and drive to a different neighborhood. We were in Thousand Oaks last week. This week we went to El Segundo. We were in Venice. Next week we're going to go to Pasadena. We just like to find cool breakfast places and coffee shops, and we love to walk around different neighborhoods and look at real estate. It's just sort of our fun thing to do. It's our hobby. And as I walked into this coffee shop at El Segundo yesterday morning, there's a woman wearing a hat that literally says, defund the media. That was the beginning of my day. And the end of the day, I learn about 63 journalists assaulted. I'm like, oh my, there's lots of divergent opinions on that one. Anyway, congratulations to our own Mo Kelly. Well-deserved, well-deserved. But while I was there, a woman came up to me. You know, I'm sitting at those round tables they do at those award shows, and she sort of creeps up in the dark and whispers, hi, you don't know me, but I've been a listener at KFI for a long time. She's actually a science journalist who writes hard science. And I spent a few minutes explaining to her why love is a science. And she very kindly said that she's learned a lot from listening to this show. You know, relationships matter more than anything else in our lifespan. The feeling of love is probably one of the most profound emotions known to humans because it's built from our basic survival system. We are, if we were ever isolated, if we were ever exiled from the tribe, that meant uncertain death. If we were unable to find mates, if we were unable to bond, it meant we were unable to reproduce and our genes fell out of evolution's chain. And so as a result, love is vital to our mental health and our physical health. It's really one of the most meaningful things that happens to us. And the need for human connection is absolutely innate, but, big but here, the ability to form healthy, loving relationships is learned. It's mostly learned in infancy and early life. And by the way, those faulty models of love can be changed. They can be relearned. You know, bad relationships and our model for bad relationships are not our destiny. The other thing that happens is everybody has relationships and everybody has breakups. And the anguish that we feel, the psychological pain that we feel upon separation is not unlike withdrawing from a drug that we are dependent on. And so this is something all of us deal with. Someone said to me, well, what's your demo? You know, the business people who ask, what's your demo? And I'm like, well, you know, I actually have a really niche market in a wide demographic because everybody has relationship issues. Everybody falls in love. I'm going to pull you off the guilt train right now. If you're somebody who's ever used this term, my marriage failed, or they dumped me, or it didn't last, and you said it in a pejorative or a judgmental way, the truth is there's no such thing as a failed relationship. We learn from every relationship. And to go through our lifespan with our very, very long new life expectancies, even the most monogamous of humans, which is about 50% of us, will probably experience two or three long stints of monogamy with some mate selection in between. We call that dating. And this is why I talk about the science of love. Okay, coming up, I want to talk about signs you're in a toxic relationship, how to get out, some of the biggest mistakes people make at the beginning of relationships. They always say, I don't have good luck on the apps, they say. I'm like, you know what? Cars don't kill people, drunk drivers do. Apps don't make you have bad relationships. It's how you use them, and I'm going to explain good ways to use them. Also, new information on the LGBTQX relationships and how to have healthier, more supportive ones, how to date a widow and widower. We got so much, and I'll be taking your calls. So hang tight. I'm here for 3 hours, and I'm here for you. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. You are listening to Dr. Wendy Walsh. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I'm looking at Kayla there. I can't believe you picked that song. I'm going to cry.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I knew that was perfect for what you're about to talk about.
Oh my goodness. This is what I get for giving a really good producer the rundown ahead of time. She starts to plan the music so well. Okay. So, you know, every week I talk about how yet another video has gone viral. And how exciting it is on TikTok to have millions and millions of views on my videos. But there's one that didn't actually go viral. But those that did watch it posted some very warm, compassionate comments. This, I want to explain what's in the video. because I want you to understand who I am, where I come from, and how I take what I do, that is caring for you, your feelings, advising you on your love relationships, why I take it so seriously. That very kind listener who came up to me last night at the LA Press Club Awards said the thing she admires about me, I don't know if that's the exact word she used, but something like that, is that I reveal so much of myself, and so that people can feel like, oh, I've been through it. I want you to know that most therapists are wounded warriors, that they have been through hurt. You know, I was helping this week a young high school student write an essay for her college application. And she wanted to use this theme of the hero and villain thing. And I told her, you know, a hero and a villain are the same person. There's somebody who was wounded terribly. But the villain is the one who says, I'm going to make sure everybody feels the pain that I felt so that they can understand me. But the hero says, I'm going to make sure that nobody ever has to feel the pain that I felt. So I like to think of myself as a hero and not a wounded person, not a victim, maybe a survivor, but let me explain. And this is all in the video. You don't have to go on TikTok to see it, but if you wanted to, you could. So my dad was in the Navy. And if you grew up as a military brat, you know it's a life of loss. Loss because your parents away a lot. And nowadays it could be a father or a mother gone away for long periods of time. Also, you're uprooted so much that you're always leaving your friends. And again, this is before social media, folks. When you moved to a new military base in a new city, you never saw your peeps again. If you wrote your friends a letter in the seventh grade, it took 3 weeks for them to get it. It was a different time. And so as a result, as I was growing up, my model for love, probably because I came into the world with a biological predisposition for a little bit of anxiety. So my model for love was that love was mixed with longing. Love was mixed with loss. And I had what I would call an anxious attachment style. To give you an example, I also posted this video this morning and people are saying, I feel the same way. When I was in high school, I had my first high school boyfriend, and he moved away out west to work on the oil rigs. It's in Canada, and all the young boys did that. They moved out west to make big money on the oil rigs. And so we would have these 11 o'clock p.m. phone calls, which would be like 2 in the morning for him, because that's when the long-distance calls, you remember, the long-distance calls got cheaper, right, at 11. So you know if the phone rang at 11:01 p.m., it was somebody calling long-distance. And literally, your parents would be like, it's long-distance, grab the phone, because it was 11:01. And so we would talk in the middle of the night, and I was so in love with him, and I was so filled with longing because he was so far away. And then one time, suddenly, we got cut off. Now, it was during a tender time where I was talking about loss and longing, blah, 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 and the phones got cut off. Well, I became convinced that he was dead. Like, I'm not joking. Like, in my mind, that would be the only thing that could have happened. And so I call the Edmonton police force. It's 2 in the morning for them. I get a sleepy guy at a desk and I say, you have to go to my boyfriend's house. He's either committed suicide or he's jumped off a balcony. Like somebody's broken in. He's got to be dead. This is how an anxious attachment style presents itself in a 17-year-old. And that's who I was at the time.
That's a lot.
Like I said, I'm real. Okay. So, unfortunately, I got to take it down. When I was 18, just a year later, the day after high school graduation, my mother sent me to Paris into the hands of a lecherous modeling agent. If you've been listening to KFI a long time, you know this story. And unfortunately, because I was not good at discerning who safe people were or not, I was raped by the owner of my agency. When we come back, I want to explain how I learned to fall in love, how I learned to recognize a secure attachment, and more than anything, how I learned to say no early. Because that's what the game is about when you're finding a secure attachment. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Came into this world, daddy's little girl. Daddy made a soldier out of me.
Ooh. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. Where did my wisdom come from? Lots of experience. And I want to remind everybody, especially you parents out there, that all parents do the best they can with the tools they have. Often people will say to me, well, you know, I had really loving parents and I had a really loving dad. Why do I have this anxious attachment style? Because sometimes it's your genetic predisposition. And also stuff happened to you when you were an infant that you don't even know about. Maybe your fabulous loving parents read a parenting book that said, you need to teach them to sleep through the night. So you need to put them in another room down the hall and let them cry it out because eventually they'll learn to sleep through the night. Oh, and you do. And you also learn to not trust people, that your needs will be taken care of. So I moved to Los Angeles after having this trauma happen to me as a teenager, sexually assaulted by the owner of my modeling agency in Paris. You can Google it. It's all online. There's a bunch of grown-up models now with big voices going after him. In fact, a group of my cohorts just went to Paris to testify to try to change the laws for the statute of limitations because so many victims don't talk for a long time until they make sense of it all. I did not tell anyone, didn't tell my parents. And very quickly, I just took the first man standing who would say yes and had a big white Catholic wedding for my mother, honestly, for my mother. And by the time I graduated college, I was divorced. I still hadn't told anybody. I moved to Los Angeles to get into television news and did not know that I would be entering a very callous dating marketplace. And for 10 years, this is not people doing to me. It's me. I chose those kind of emotionally avoidant players who often used me because my model of love was filled with longing. I was hoping that I was going to be the one that they would commit to. I was hoping that he would make me the public girlfriend, not the side chick. I was hoping, we didn't have the word back then, that the situationship, if I was nice enough, would turn into a real relationship. Eventually, at the 11th hour of my fertility window, I met a man who I thought would protect me. We had two children, and you probably know about this if you've been listening for many years. One day, he knocked me unconscious in my kitchen. I am also a survivor of domestic violence, and I knew I had to stay alive for my girls. I packed us up, and I moved us to Italy, and at this point, I had entered graduate school, and I was starting to study psychology, and I was working on my dissertation. And here's a funny story. I got to bring it up a bit. Okay, so here's a funny thing. I'm in Italy trying to heal from my trauma in a country where I do not speak the language, with two kids, one of them a little on the autism spectrum, having screaming meltdown tantrums everywhere. I have no help, no family. And one lucky thing that happened is I thought, okay, well, here's what we can do as a family. We can join the health club because they have a little pool there and a hot tub. We could spend our Sunday's family day at the Virgin Health Club. Yes, there's Virgin Records, there's Virgin Atlantic, there's Virgin Astronauts, and in Europe, there are Virgin Health Clubs. But in order to get into the Virgin Health Clubs in Italy, you have to get a physical examination. They don't let sick people in. So somebody at the little American school there, a parent said, oh, there's this doctor, Italian doctor. He speaks English and he comes to your villa I rented a very small apartment in a big villa, but tiny corner of it. He comes up the mountain in his motorcycle and he'll sign those certificates for the health club. So he comes up, does whatever, looks in our throat, takes our temperature, signs the forms for Virgin Health Club. And as I'm walking him out, I say to him, doctor, I want you to know, I'm really struggling. I'm a single mom. I'm alone in this country. I don't speak the language. My two-year-old is really having a lot of tantrums. I'm recovering from something hard. In America, we have this pill called Zoloft. And he goes, oh, yes, I got lots on my motorcycle. Let me go get it for you. All the Americans want that Zoloft. Literally, he had it in the little pack, the fanny pack there on his motorcycle. He went and got it for me. And I'm telling you, if I did not have that antidepressant, I would not have gotten through that period. For 1 year, I remained on an antidepressant. I can also tell you how to wean off SSRIs because I did it very carefully. And I found a really great therapist along the way. I will never leave this therapist. She like reparented me in many ways. We did have like a 10-year break at one point. But then when I started to suffer empty nest syndrome, I was right on back. But she really helped me and taught me about safe relationships. One day she said to me, you know, maybe every Friday when I'd have her appointment, I'd borrow a book from, because she had a library of books behind her big leather chair. And then the next Friday I would bring it back. I'd read it. And, you know, a couple of years into this therapy, she says to me, have you ever thought about going back to graduate school? And I was like, no, I could never afford it. I'm supporting everybody here. This is just too hard. And I was extrapolating on something. And I said, I mean, I don't actually have a psychology degree, but, and she said, well, actually you do. She said, all those books you've been taking from behind my chair are textbooks. You've read an entire BA of psychology in the last few years. I'm like, I have. She goes, maybe you should just go and get the paper and actually go to the classes. So she convinced me. I went on to get a master's and PhD in clinical psychology. And today, I mean, did have a private practice for a while, but because I was in the entertainment business, because I was in the news business, because I'm a natural communicator, I love to share knowledge with many instead of just focusing on one. Although I do some of that coaching on the side, but for the most part, I love teaching. I teach at Cal State Channel Islands. I do radio. I have my TikTok channel. I have my Patreon page where people come to Zoom groups and we talk about relationship stuff. And of course, did I forget the big punchline? I have a fabulous, secure relationship with somebody who absolutely adores me. A place where I feel safe. A place where I have trust. And so if you said to me 15 years ago, you know, someday you're going to have all these things, I would have been like, I can't imagine it. I was in such a dark place. And that's why I want to talk to those of you who are in toxic relationships. Because many of you don't have a healthy model for love. So you don't actually know you're in this toxic relationship. You ask me questions like, is it normal if this happens? Is this normal? Right? I mean, there's some obvious examples of a toxic relationship, like physical abuse, you know, chronic cheating, really inappropriate sexual behavior. But there's also stuff that's really hard to detect, and that's the emotional abuse, right? Somebody's being disrespectful, dishonest, controlling behavior. So let's talk about the main signs that your relationship is toxic. First of all, lack of trust. Does your partner mistrust you without cause? Are they insanely jealous for no reason? Hostile communication. Is there name calling? The silent treatment? Those feelings of deep disdain? That is not love and that is not healthy. How about controlling behaviors? Do they isolate you from friends and family? They constantly want to know where you are, what you're doing. Are they trying to control your finances? When we come back, I have to tell you a funny story about how the father of my children gently controlled me, and it all has to do with a cappuccino machine. You won't believe this story. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
She found was Earl. Well, it wasn't 2 weeks after she got married that Wanda started getting abused. She put on dark glasses, long sleeve blouses, and makeup to cover her bruise.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We are talking about toxic relationships. You should know that 1 in 4 American women and many men will suffer domestic violence. That, according to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and it crosses all socioeconomic and ethnic lines. So I was telling a story. I was saying, you know, often a sign that you're in a toxic relationship is that your partner has controlling behaviors, tries to isolate you from friends and family, wants to know where you are, what you're doing, or tries to control the money and the finances, right? So I have a funny story about a cappuccino machine. So my little escape from him and the kids when I just needed a tiny little break would be to go down the street to Starbucks. And I would say, oh, Starbucks has better coffee. I'm going to go to Starbucks. And I would run out the door. And that's where I'd be texting my friends and calling them. And it was my little like safe place, my freedom place, whatever. And so one day he comes home with this super expensive cappuccino machine. And ironically, years later, when I was moving one time, one of my sweet housekeepers said, she commented on it. I said, oh, I haven't used it in years. Why don't you take it? You can have it. And so she brings it home and shows it to her next door neighbor who's Italian and a chef. And he cleans it up and everything. He shows her how to use it. She starts making cappuccinos for him. They end up falling madly in love. So that cappuccino machine might have had bad juju for me, but it had really good juju for her. So, you know, things can happen. Anyway, back to controlling behavior. Is there frequent lying? Truth is vital in real love. Is it all take and no give? A healthy relationship is about reciprocity. And here's the big one. Do you feel drained? You see, relationships are supposed to fill you up. They're supposed to fill up your tank so you can head out into the world and slay the dragons. You should come home and land in a soft place. But if you feel drained, you're in a toxic relationship. Finally, today I was looking at a number of articles on one of my favorite websites, psychcentral.com, and they had a lot on domestic violence, toxic relationships, and they did something that I loved. Every second paragraph, there would be a big orange button called Quick Exit. And when you hit that big orange button on every second paragraph, it would take you back to the homepage of Psych Central that just might say, like, ooh, you know, 5 ways to be happy, how to have healthy, happy kids, whatever. And so it's for in case a mate is looking over someone's shoulder so that they can quickly get off the article that says how to leave a toxic relationship. Is your relationship toxic? So they put very carefully a big orange button every second paragraph that says quick exit. So I just want to say this. If you ever feel that you would ever need to press a quick exit button, you are in a toxic relationship. There's no ifs, ands, or buts there. I know why you stay. Believe it or not, traumatic bonds have a sense of bonding. It's almost like two damaged babies find each other, and there's actually some weird connection in the pain. Or you stay because your partner really is controlling and threatening and will not let you leave, and you have safety concerns. Maybe you stay because you have nowhere to go. No family in town, no friends who will take you in. Maybe you're staying because you don't have the finances to be independent. Maybe you simply lack knowledge about how to leave. And maybe you lack support. And that's why I'm here. I'm going to lay some knowledge down on you. And if you are listening and you have a friend who's in a toxic relationship, I'm going to advise you how you should react. How you can be the best support system for this man or woman who is in a toxic relationship. I do need to say this, though. Do not feel ashamed. I stayed way too long because I didn't want to feel like a failure. I didn't want to be a single mother. I did not want to have this breakup. I was so ashamed and I felt so embarrassed. And I'm telling you, once you get to the other side, once you allow people to care for you, once you reach out to people and give them the power to protect you, you can dump all your shame. And I know you do want to keep your family together for the sake of the children. And you have heard me in the past say things like, well, you know, the research says that two people who are even bickering, unhappy people who are devoting themselves to their kids in the nest, those kids will do better than being shuttled back and forth between different households and the economic struggles that they will have. I'm talking about a relationship that's not toxic. You just don't love each other so much. A little bickering, you know, you're walking around like two Siamese cats in the room just blinking at each other. You're not really, it's not dangerous for the children. But a toxic nest is actually dangerous for the children. And I know one of the biggest reasons why you haven't left yet is because you are worried about how your partner is going to react. And you're also going to worry about how they feel. Here's the craziness. And anybody who's never been in a toxic relationship, I want you to thank your lucky stars right now. Just thank yourself that that is not the burden, the cross you had to bear, okay? Don't judge it. But people in toxic relationships, and I had it too, have deep, deep compassion for their partner. They know what their partner's been through in their childhood to become this angry person. They know what's happened to their partner. And I'm not going to lie. I did not want, because the father of my children is African-American, I did not want the stereotype of Black men and violence to happen through me. And I stayed for many, many years to protect him. I still have an urge to protect him. I still feel great compassion for him. I still love him. But I also know we could no longer be together. I had to protect my children. So I know how you feel. I know how hard this is. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how to create a safety plan, how to leave, how to build a support network. We're going to do this together, okay? And if you have a friend in this situation, I want you to listen closely because I need you to be a good friend to them. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.